Well, hi everyone. Let me add my welcome to Charmaine's. It's great to see you here. As Charmaine said, my name is Mark Jackson. I do work on the staff team here for a church, but let me just say that for the first 22 years of my life, I completely misunderstood what Christianity was about. So I'm not sure what you think it's about. I grew up just thinking, oh, well, it's about being good, isn't it? Because, you know, Jesus is a good person and I'm quite a good person, well, most of the time. So because I am, I'll be all right. I mean, that's what it's about, right? And I'd be interested to know, you know, afterwards what you guys think Christianity is about, whether you think it's about being good. It's not just me who thinks like this. A recent poll was taken just on the streets of London and they asked people, why do you think God should let you into heaven? And 90% of people answered, because I am a good person. Now, it was an incredible shock to me when I was at university and someone just opened the Bible and showed me from the lips of Jesus himself that I had got it completely wrong, completely misunderstood what Christianity is about. And so what I want us to do at this lunchtime is just take us all right to the heart of the Christian message. We're going to look at what is arguably the most famous verse in the Bible. You may know it, you may not. You can see it there, the first sentence that Charmaine read out on that sheet. Jesus speaking, let me read it to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, there are three things that I want us all to see here so we don't misunderstand this verse and don't misunderstand what Christianity is about. Now, the first thing to see is this, that God loves us even though we don't deserve it. God loves us even though we don't deserve it. So, God does love us. That's good to hear. You'll be pleased to hear that. Jesus says, for God so loved the world. But what's important to see is it's not a love we deserve. That phrase, the world, for God so loved the world, we might think as we hear that, well, that's just a neutral phrase. The world, it's the people in the world, and if God exists, he made the world, he loves the world, of course he does. I mean, that's who he is. No, no, no. The guy that's writing this, the author John, whenever he uses the word world, he means it with a negative connotation, in a negative sense. It is a world which has turned its back on God. A world which does not love God as it should. A world where people don't love each other as it should. We look around us, a world of corruption and lies, a world of chemical weapons and wars, a world of impatience, pride, injustice, hatred. This is the world that God loves, a world which has turned its back on him. So I don't know if you've ever been given the cold shoulder by someone at work, or someone sort of laughed at one of your suggestions, scoffed at one of your in a meeting. Or perhaps you've had someone who's just flat out, plain ignored you, just walked on, you know, hello, I'm here. And it's so frustrating. I'm not sure if it's ever happened to you. You know, when that happens, we feel hurt. We feel angry. You know, rightly so. So how do you think God feels when the very world he made gives him the cold shoulder and scoffs at what he says? You know, and most of the time, you know, just flat out ignores him. It's not too happy. And so what I want us to see, what Jesus wants us to see, is that by nature, we don't deserve God's love. You know, Jesus speaks in this sentence, I mean, there's a strong word there towards the end, of perishing by nature because of the way we treat God. And that's a word of judgment. You know, we're not neutral when we come to God. You know, we think we're good, and in some ways, you know, of course we are. But when it comes to God, our thoughts about God, our attitudes towards God, our lives, our actions towards him, our attitudes, you know, we are not good, Jesus says. You know, we all fail. Most of us don't live up to our own ideals, let alone God's ideals. So Jesus says that we deserve judgment, we deserve perishing. That sounds tough, but please get that, because God loves you even though we're like this. God loves the world even though it's a sinful world. So first thing about Christianity, please don't misunderstand this. It's not that, you know, we deserve God's love. Yeah, of course he loves me. That's who he is. We're good people. No, no, no. The Bible describes us as sinful. We don't deserve his love, and yet he loves us. You know, and that's wonderful news, because wherever you're coming from this lunchtime, God does love you. God loves people who hate him. God loves people who haven't given him a second thought for the last day, hour, year. God takes the first move. God takes the initiative. God does love you, even though we don't deserve it. And that's the first thing to see. The second, it sort of begs the question, you know, well, how does God love us then? You know, you look at the world around you today, you turn, has God not sort of switched on the TV this week? Has he not read the papers? Could be you're particularly stressed at work right now, you're going through a tough time. You know, how does God love us? It could be a bit of a platitude, don't you? Yeah, God loves me. Yeah, show me how. All right, well, the next part of the verse shows us. Jesus says, for God so loved the world, next part, that he gave his one and only son. His one and only son refers to Jesus Christ. The giving of his one and only son refers to Jesus' death on the cross. In other words, God loves us by coming to earth in the person of his son. Proving that he does exist, but first and foremost, he comes to earth to die for us. And so as Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, something incredible, amazing was happening. Jesus Christ was actually dying in our place, taking the punishment that our sin deserves for turning our back on God. He dies in our place so we can be forgiven by God and known by God and loved by God, you know, so that we might not perish, but have eternal life. Probably saw on the news about the Kenyan shopping mall massacre. You know, it's just horrible to read. This group of children, they get separated from their parents. You know, terrorists grab them, round them up, point a gun at their head. They're threatening them with death. I mean, and then out of nowhere, there's this British man. Is it Mittal Shah? You know, a father, a husband himself. And he speaks to terrorists and he offers his own life, you know, to save the group of children. You know, incredible that someone would do this for you. And what I want us to see is that is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for every single one of us. And of course, it's way more incredible because, you know, this is God himself dying for a world which by nature has turned its back on him. This is the love of God coming to earth, dying for us, even though we don't love him and we don't deserve it. And I know it happened 2,000 years ago. God had to choose a moment in time to become a person, to be born into this world. But even though it happened all the way back then, it doesn't make this point any less real. How do you know God loves you? Jesus Christ died for you. This is the heart of the Christian message. Jesus Christ dying for you. It is not about being good. It's about being forgiven, rescued, died for. God's love really is like no other. You know, in certain belief systems, it can be about shunning your enemies, keeping away from them, ignoring them, killing them. With Jesus Christ, it is about dying for your enemies, loving them that much. This is the depth of God's love for us. Okay, but there's one more thing for us to see from this sentence. And that is the need for each of us to respond. So we read that sentence 16, verse 16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now we haven't actually defined eternal life yet. Later on in this book, this Gospel of John, Jesus himself defines eternal life like this. This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Life, the meaning of life, it is about knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, the one who made you, loves you, died for you, the relationship you were made for, the relationship we all long for, a relationship which starts now, goes through death, into eternity. This is it. This is what eternal life means. But this is what we're offered. This is what Jesus Christ's death has secured. But we need to respond to it. We need to believe, Jesus says, in him. You know, and that's because God won't force himself upon you. You know, like in any relationship, you need to step out in faith.
commit yourself to the other person, trust them. You know, and in this case, it is trusting Jesus Christ with everything. Your life, ultimately, your death, your eternal life. Apparently, as a nation now, we are described in the UK as commitment phobic. I'm not sure if you've read about this. Apparently, we don't like to trust people. Apparently, we find it difficult to commit to things, to commit to people. Can I just say that here is someone you can trust with everything, because he has given everything for you, even his own life. And just notice again that, you know, our response is just not about being good enough for Jesus. That sentence, Jesus said, he doesn't say whoever tries harder for Jesus. It doesn't say whoever does lots of great things for Jesus. It doesn't say whoever's religious enough for Jesus. It just says whoever believes, who just trusts, has faith. It's just not about being good enough. And this is so different from relationships and the love around us. So when I was growing up, you know, it was all, you do well at school and your teachers might like you. Do your job really well and your boss might approve of you. Say the right things, do the right things, and that sort of group of friends, social group, that, you know, they might let you in. You know, it's all about being good enough. But what if you're not? The love songs on the radio, Jackson 5, Maroon 5, Rihanna, Justin Bieber. You know, there's often a because in it. I love you because you make me happy, because you make me feel so great, because you look so great, because you do this. You know, what if you don't? What about when the looks fade? What if someone more attractive comes along? What if you go through bad patches, let them down? What if you're not good enough? What then? You know, relationships, love like this, you're always worried about getting things wrong, putting a foot wrong. It can be so enslaving. Not with God. You muck up, you put a foot wrong, he loves you. You ignore him, you hate him, he forgives you. If you think God's out to get you, he's not. If you think God's distant, he's not. We've just seen, he came to earth for you. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. His spirit is here. This offer of love is out here right now for you. And in those rare moments when we do actually see ourselves as we really are, and maybe we think to ourselves, how could God love someone like me? Here is the answer. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the heart of the Christian message. This is the most famous verse in the Bible. Please, please, would it not be the most misunderstood? This is a love we don't deserve. This is a love so deep Jesus dies for you. This is a love we all need to respond to. Let me say a short prayer and then I'll hand back to Charmaine. Father God, I pray that by your Spirit you would help each and every one of us to appreciate for the first time more, even more, the incredible depths of your love for us in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and move us to believe, trust, put our faith in you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.